wonderful to be with you.
I am so thankful to be here. And there isn't a group of people that I enjoy preaching to more than this group right here. I esteem you all so highly. I'm so thankful for your prayers, the cards you sent me, the encouragement. Just delighted to be with you. And I'm feeling good. Very happy to be here. Would you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2? I've entitled this message, Four Ifs. Let's read verses 11 through 13. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, this is one of the four faithful sayings of the Apostle Paul. You read them in 1 and 2 Timothy and in Titus. And these sayings were and are so important and so often used that they had reached the status of sayings in the early church. They were things that the early believers were repeating over and over and over again, and they actually reached the status of sayings, things that were often said by believers. Let's look at them together. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is the first faithful saying. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, this is something that was repeated often in the early church. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Turn to the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And this is a faithful saying. And these things, what I've just said, this faithful saying, I will that thou affirm constantly, repeat over and over again, that or in order that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now, it's through the constant repetition as the Lord blesses this that God's people will be careful to maintain good works by hearing this over and over and over again. And then there's this passage that I just read in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is actually a hymn. It's a hymn that was sung over and over again by the early church. I think it's really interesting to think of them singing this hymn together. When they'd meet together, this was a hymn that they sang very often. And verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us of the importance of this hymn, this faithful saying. He says in verse 14, of these things, everything he'd said up to this point, but especially this hymn that he just quoted, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. It is the repetition of this, believed in the heart, that will cause God's people to not strive about words to no profit. Now that gives us some idea of the importance of this faithful saying. In this passage of Scripture, Paul actually uses some logic. If, then. Now we don't believe something because it's logical. We believe something because the Bible teaches, not because it's logical. Now I'm happy if something is logical and makes sense to me, but if something doesn't appear logical to me, it doesn't matter. If the Bible teaches it, I believe it just as God says it. But I also kind of like it when things are logical. If, then, if this takes place, then this will certainly take place. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul gives us four ifs. If this is, then this will be. Now let's consider them one at a time. Verse 11, it is a faithful saying, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. The way this is stated tells us that it is possible to not be dead with him. Now, if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. And it also tells us that all who did die with him shall most assuredly live with him. Now, if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. The Lord Jesus Christ did die on Calvary's tree. He who is life died. Why did he die? Now, there is only one reason for death, isn't there? And what is it? Sin. The wages of sin is death. The sins of God's elect actually became his. Let me show you a scripture in Psalm 40. Would you turn with me there? Every time I look at this passage of scripture, it amazes me. Look in verse 6 of Psalm 40. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, who is speaking? Now, you know these are the words of the Lord Jesus. This is quoted in Hebrews chapter 10 as the direct words of Christ. Now, look in verse 11 of Psalm 40. And this is the same one speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Now here is what I want to call your attention to. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. He doesn't say Todd's iniquities or the elect's iniquities. He says, my iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. You see, when Christ died, why did He die? Because He was guilty. The sins of God's people became His. The sins of those who believed became His. So that He said, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. You see, our Lord was dying as a substitute, as a representative. He was dying for somebody. Now listen to this scripture. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul the Apostle makes this statement. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Now I want to ask you a question. Was He really crucified with Christ? Yes. Because of union with Christ, everything that He did, I did. Where He is, I am. I was crucified with Christ. Now, this is so important for us to understand. Everybody that He died for must be saved. If we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. Now that teaching that says that He died for all men without exception actually destroys the only hope that this sinner's talking to you has. My only hope of being accepted by God, my only hope that He accepts me right now is because that Christ Jesus the Lord died for me. Now, if you tell me that He died for those who may end up in hell, you're taking away the only hope I have. The only hope I have is that He died for me. He died for His sheep. He died for His elect, His church, those who believe. Now, if we died with Him, if we were represented by Him, if He loved me and gave Himself for me, then I shall live with Him. Would you turn with me a moment to Romans chapter 8? I love this verse of Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And who is the all He's speaking of? Well, everybody in the context. Those whom He foreknew, those whom He predestinated, those whom He called, those whom He justified. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not? Now, get that. How shall He not? What could possibly prevent Him from? How could it be just for Him to do anything but this? How shall He not also with Him freely, without a cause? He doesn't have to find a cause in me or you to do it. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Isn't that wonderful? If we be dead with Him, we also shall live with Him. But you know this verse of Scripture means more than that. The only way I can live is by dying. And this point is just as important and just as significant as the other one I just made. The only way I can live is by dying. Would you turn with me for a moment to Matthew chapter 16? Verse 21, Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He tells his disciples of his death. You know, he did this on numerous occasions. Why weren't they there waiting at the tomb? They weren't. He told them that he was telling them of his death. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. My margin says, pity yourself, Lord. Don't go through death. Don't let that happen to you. Look at how our Lord answered Peter. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's what he says to Peter. Thou art an offense unto me, for you savor not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now you and I can only lose our life by death. To come after Christ, I must deny myself. Self-denial. I must deny self-righteousness, self-serving, self-seeking, self. To come after Christ, I must deny myself, take up my cross. That's the confession of Christ and the persecution that comes with that. The world never has loved the gospel, never will. I must deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Him. If I save my life, if I seek to not die, what does the Lord say? He says, I'll lose it. But if I lose my life, His sake, He tells me I'll find it. Now, if we die with Him, and it's a blessed thing to die with Him, isn't it? If you're a believer, that's what you want above all things. I want to die to self, take up my cross, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If we die with Him, we also shall live with Him. In dying, I live. I go back to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. In dying with Him, I live. You know, it's only in dying that we really live, isn't it? Anything else is just existence. There's only life in dying. Now, the second thing in our text, back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says in verse 12, if we suffer, we shall reign with Him. Now, if we don't suffer, we will not reign with Him. But if we do suffer, we shall reign with Him. Now, this is not talking about any old kind of suffering. You know that. Everybody that's born into this world is going to suffer of some kind. Man that's born of woman, the Scripture says, is born in trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's not talking about any old kind of suffering. Let me show you exactly what this is talking about. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 10? Matthew chapter 10, verse 21. And brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Now that's what's going to happen as a result of a faithful witness of Christ. Now look what he says next in verse 22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now that's a promise. But He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now that word right there, he that endures to the end, it's the same word that's translated suffer in our text. What this suffering refers to, when our Lord says, if we suffer, we shall reign with Him, this is talking about our confession of Christ that's going to bring on the hatred of the world, and it will, the persecution. Well, you found that to be true. But it's only that person who doesn't quit. You remember the stony ground here, how the Scripture says he received the word at first with joy. He joyfully received it, but afterwards, because of the persecution that came because of the word, he was offended and he left. He didn't endure. If we endure all the way to the end, we shall reign with him. Let me read you a couple of scriptures. Be not weary, Paul said, in well-doing, believing the gospel, our confession of Christ. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 says, for we are made partakers of Christ. And that's what I'm interested in, aren't you? I want to be a partaker with him. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. If we suffer, if we endure to the end, we shall most assuredly reign with him. And you know the gospel we believe. I know you believe. Our gospel is a gospel worth dying for. It. We really believe that, don't we? It's a gospel worth dying for. Third, it says in verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, that's the bottom line. He says, if we deny him, he will deny us. Now, that's a passage of Scripture that I've always looked at. It's kind of scary. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Well, what's it mean? How does one go about denying the Lord? Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Once again, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, what does it mean to deny Christ before men? It's a failure to confess Christ before men. Now, what does it mean to confess Christ before men? Well, what we confess is what we really believe in. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This has something to do with salvation, doesn't it? With the mouth confession is made to salvation. If I refuse to confess him, I'm not saved. Now, what does it mean to confess Christ? How do we confess him? Like I said, this is what you really believe. It's what you confess publicly. It's what you plead guilty to. Somebody once made this statement. If they arrested people for being Christians, would they have enough evidence to convict you? That's quite a thought, isn't it? What do I confess? Well, what does it mean to confess Christ before men? Well, first, I confess him by baptism. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says they were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, does that mean that they stood in front of everybody and confessed all the bad things that they'd done and then they were allowed to be baptized? Well, you know better than that. Don't ever do anything like that. That's foolishness. Getting up and trying to tell everybody what you've done. That, for one thing, you wouldn't be honest if you did, would you? When he's saying they were baptized of him confessing their sins, that act of baptism was the act of confession. Now, here's what I'm confessing when I'm baptized. I'm confessing that I'm so sinful in and of myself. I can't be saved by myself, and the only way I can be saved is by the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my confession. I confess this before men in baptism. How do we confess Christ? We confess Christ by our mouth. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I love what Paul said in Acts chapter 24, verse 14. He said, "This I confess to thee." When he was brought before that Sanhedrin, he said, "This I confess to thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers." He didn't say that's how I believe, did he? Well, I believe. No, he said that's how I worship. After the way which they call heresy, what they deny, so worship I the God of our fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. That's our confession of Him. We confess with the mouth. We confess by identification with His people, thirdly. You know, you're confessing Christ by being here right now. You're identifying with His people. Birds of a feather flock together, don't they? Paul said to Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner." You know who I want to be identified with? Lord knows whether I'm telling the truth. I hope I'm telling the truth. I believe I am. I want to be identified with that person who stands for the gospel. That's who I want to cast my lot in. Whatever happens to them, I want to be right there with them. We confess Christ by identification with His people. And I fourthly confess Christ by my life. Now listen to this scripture. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, "They profess that they know Him, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." I confess Christ by my life. A disobedient life is a denial of the gospel. And if I fail to confess Him, this passage of Scripture says, if I deny Him, He also will deny me. Now let's look at verse 13 of our text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, because this is the Scripture that really hit me, that felt like I understood it more clearly than I have in the past. It says in verse 13, here's the four ifs. The first one is, if we be dead with Him, we'll live with Him. Second, if we suffer, we'll also reign with Him. Third, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. Verse 13, if we believe not. Yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. I read the different commentators that I have in my study on this passage of Scripture, and most commentators believe that this means that the unbelief of man does not nullify the truth and the purpose of God. And you know, that's true. Let God be true and every man a liar, is what Paul said. Man's unbelief cannot nullify the truth or purpose of God. That's true. But that's not what this passage of Scripture is teaching. There are others who have taken this passage of Scripture, if we believe not, He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. And they say, well, that means a man can be saved even if he doesn't believe the gospel. It says, if we believe not, He abides faithful. If we're one of the elect, even if we don't believe, perhaps we'll end up being saved, or we'll end up being saved. Now, did not the Lord say, he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. What the Lord said. So you know that's not what it means. Well, what does it mean? Well, turn with me to Mark chapter 9, and I believe I can show you exactly what it means. Mark chapter 9, let's begin reading in verse 22. This is that father who has brought his son to the disciples, and they couldn't cast the demon out of his son. And now they've brought him to the Lord. And he says to the Lord in verse 22, "And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything..." Well, that's a bad thing to say, isn't it? "If thou canst do anything..." No, that's the wrong thing to say to the Lord. "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, you've got to turn the tables on him. "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Do you understand what that man is saying? "Lord, I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Now this person is tormented. He says things like, "How can I be saved and think the thoughts that I think? How can I be saved and do the things that I do? How can I truly be saved and desire the things that I desire? I'm so filled with contradictions. I'm so filled with doubts. I'm so filled with inconsistencies. I'm so sinful. How can I be saved? Now, I do believe. I do believe, but I have such unbelief." This person feels so sinful, so weak, so isolated, so vulnerable, so alone. They feel very much like what David said when he said, "I'm ready to halt." And David said that. "I'm ready to plumb fall away. I'm ready to just give it all up. I'm ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me." That's the person who's being spoken of if we believe not. That believer who is tortured by his unbelief, his lack of trust, his lack of rest. And this is the person Paul speaks of when he says, "If we believe not." Now, what does he say? He says, "If we believe not, he abides faithful." You know, the Lord. You know what that means as much as anything else? It means you can't change. "I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He abides faithful to his purpose in saving that person. If we believe not, he abides faithful. Now, catch this. If we believe not, he abides faithful. He cannot deny what? What? Himself. For him to deny that person would be for him to deny himself. Now, what this is a reference to is union with Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." Not two real closely joined together. One. Turn with me for a moment to John chapter 17. verse 19. This is the prayer of our Lord for His people. And He says, and for their sakes, John 17, verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, can you get a hold of that? The Lord, God the Father, loves you the same way He loves His Son. You know, that's hard to believe, isn't it? If it wasn't in this book, I wouldn't believe it. I just had such a hard time getting a hold of that. But He says, thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, how's the only way that's possible? If I'm one with Christ. Now, how real is union with Christ? I'm talking about the believer in Christ being one. How real is union with the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me answer it like this. How real were His sufferings on the cross? Now, how real were they? When He was on the cross, was it as if He were suffering? No, His sufferings were more real than anything you and I can ever understand anything about. And just as truly and really as His sufferings were, my sin became His and He suffered. Just as truly and really, His righteousness. Now that's how real union with Christ is. He truly suffered. He was made sin. And His righteousness, His perfect obedience, really is mine. Now that's a real union, isn't it? Let me show you another scripture that tells us how real this union is. Ephesians chapter 2. Now this is where our confidence comes from. This is where our assurance comes from. This is what we rejoice in. Now, we just sang that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. You want me to tell you why I have this blessed assurance? Because I really believe I'm one with Him. I really believe His righteousness is my righteousness. That's why I have blessed assurance. It's not because of something, this good feeling I have. I'm thankful for good feelings, but that doesn't have anything to do with my assurance. My assurance is Christ only. Blessed assurance. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Now, let's look at this in light of union with Christ. But God, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. When were you made alive? When Christ was raised from the dead. That's what that says. He quickened us together with Christ. Let's go on reading. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together with Christ. That's what that's a reference to. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is Christ in heaven? Right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, you know who else is there? Every believer. Literally? Well, I'm sitting there looking at you. Literally. Near, so near to God. Nearer I cannot be. For in the person of His dear Son, I'm as near to God as He. dear, so dear to God, dear I cannot be. For in the person of His dear Son, I'm as dear to God as He. Isn't that wonderful? First John chapter 4, verse 17 says, as He is. Now, how is He? Well, He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's holy. He's righteous. He's perfect. As He is, so are we in this world. Not in the by and by, but right now. Union with Christ is so real, it's so vital, that for Him to deny me would be for Him to deny Himself. And you know that ain't going to happen. He cannot. He is unable to deny Himself. Now, is this not a faithful saying that we need to have continually brought before our remembrance? If we be dead with Him, we also shall live with Him. If we suffer, we also shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Let's pray together. Our merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we truly stand amazed at the thought of being united to Thy Son. Lord, we do believe. Help Thou our unbelief. Lord, enable us to rest in the confidence that if we died with Him, we also shall live with Him. Give us the grace to die daily with Him, that we may live with Him. Enable us to suffer and reign, endure to the end, that we might reign with Him. Lord, deliver us from denying Him. Lord, how thankful we are for this assurance that if we do believe not, He abides faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Bless this message for Your glory and our good. In Christ's blessed name we pray. You're dismissed.